Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to this week's rendition of Pick and Pod, the exclusive NBA podcast dedicated, the exclusive WFUV podcast dedicated to the NBA. Got my words switched up there, but we're going to switch up and talk some basketball, talk teams rising and falling, and also start off with our New York teams and how they're faring at this point in the season. It's great to be here, a little rest from finals week with Kurt and Mary Hannah. It's great to be here with you both, and excited to talk some basketball with you guys.
Very excited. I got my Nets Christmas sweater on. I'm feeling really in the season today.
That's what you call an ugly Christmas sweater.
The Nets Christmas sweater. Come on now. It's the best.
That's supposed to get some laughter in here, no?
No, I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh at that. Nets Christmas sweater is the best. It's my most festive.
I don't have anything that festive, but glad to see that you're in the mood.
You have to be. Especially we have the FUV Christmas party today.
I know. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, got to be excited about
that. Vibes are higher on the station.
Yeah. Just, you got to get through. It's been a hard week from what I've been hearing from. And I'm older than you guys. You know, you guys are undergrad, but the grad students I'm with, it's been a brutal week for papers and finals. So it's great to get a rest. And if some people are finished, this is a great way to finish the week by listening right here, wherever you get your podcasts, to Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports. Let's get right into it. The New York Knicks, Kurt, every time, it's funny, every time I'm on a show, on a podcast with you, the Knicks seem to be in a bit of a funk, if you will.
I think they were just because in the season.
Okay.
This is just a season thing.
Well, you don't need to rub it in, but I'm worried about this team. I mean, every time I think that, you know, they're on a roll, and that they're starting to be cohesive and have great chemistry and they look unstoppable offensively, then I see games like last night against or not last night Wednesday night against the Atlanta Hawks, 108-100,
rolling dice on the court, huh?
Yeah, where you know you have Brunson with an underwhelming game, 14 points, 5 for 14 from the field. Mikal Bridges, 19, that was okay. Towns, 19. He had 19 rebounds, so I give him credit for that. OG Anunoby, 13 points. Josh Hart, 21. Team didn't shoot very well. And then you let Trae Young score 22 in 36 minutes, which is not amazing, but he was efficient in the time he was out there. And I'm just thinking, you know, this Knicks team was constructed to be a Celtics beater, to be the Boston stopper. I'm saying
that's ridiculous, Ben.
Okay, all right. Well, what I'm saying is I'm not encouraged by what I'm seeing so far, because it's just games like against the Hawks. I just wonder, with Hartenstein leaving, I've said this many times, when Hartenstein left in June, is that the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of everything went downhill from there, in terms of the reason they traded for Towns is because of the Hartenstein
that's ridiculous.
Leaving.
That's ridiculous. Everyone has watched Karl Anthony Towns has seen that he is nothing in comparison to a defensive center that Isaiah Hartenstein is or Mitchell Robinson is. And we cannot keep relying on the fact that you want to say that Mitchell Robinson's been out of the game, that the Knicks have been faltering. This is not just Mitchell Robinson. I feel like this is a Knicks locker room heart thing. We had a discussion when you were doing women's basketball a little while, and I came into our sports director, Bobby's, office, and I was talking to you about this. This Knicks team, I got to beat report lucky enough. Thank you, WFUV Sports. The Knicks-Hornets game. And they just look heartless. There is no, like, the energy on the court. There were some portions of that Atlanta Hawks game where I saw Karl Anthony Towns when Clint Capella was going up with his hands at his side. This just doesn't, they don't look like they're not playing that hard. And is this a chemistry thing? Is this like the Knicks are through their funk and they need to learn how to play with each other? Is this kind of a, I'm not sure. It's just, there's so much wrong with this team, in my opinion, that I think that there's just needs to be some way they have to build up better. And I think that's going to come with a bench. And the Knicks,
they don't have a bench
right now.
They barely have a bench. They're so top heavy. I can't, it's like, thank you, Satan, I'm agreeing with you, but it's like you can't not agree with what Kurt is saying right now, in my view, in the games you're watching. Mary Hannah, what do you think?
I definitely think that the thing about the Knicks that's kind of tripping them up is that they have a momentum because right now they're all skill. They have skill. They have the people that have the skill.
No grit.
But
no
they don't have... As soon as the Hawks responded in that third quarter of that game, they just gave up.
It looked
the
like
momentum
they did.
Was all gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also credit to Jalen Brunson. I'm going to be so honest. Like, it's hard for me to want to compliment a player on the Knicks, but so credit to Jalen Brunson, how good he has been, and it feels like, for the most part, he drags this team through the mud. At one point in the Hornets game that I was at reporting on, Jalen Brunson, I believe, had 25 of the Knicks' 30 points in the first quarter. Something crazy like that. Like, if it's not for him, and when he doesn't do as well on some nights, for example, the Atlanta Hawks game,
yeah.
He got off to a slow start.
Yeah.
What happened to the Knicks? You can't rely on one guy. You traded for Mikal Bridges, Brooklyn Bridges. He crossed the bridge, and look where he's at now. Faulty. You traded for Karl Anthony Towns, who now leads the league in rebounds. Wonderful he leads the league in rebounds, but he still can't play defense in the paint.
None of them can.
But, like, he looks like he gives up. They did not grab an offensive rebound in the third and fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter, every time they would go to defend, what's his face? Trae Young, sorry. They would go to defend Trae Young, and Trae Young would find the person in the corner every single time, constantly.
I'm pretty sure Clint Capella and Trae Young connected on like five lobs in a row at one point.
Yes, him and DeAndre Hunter.
And
well, you guys.
That was the entire fourth quarter. It was a show.
You guys are just piling on at
no,
this point.
No, but it's not piling on. How can you not agree with me?
I agree.
Highlighted the best player on the Knicks right now, and that's Jalen Brunson, who is playing out of his mind. But how much can he carry an entire franchise?
Well, how about, you know who's been a bright spot along with Brunson this season, Kurt? OG Anunoby has been great.
Yes, he has been great. And OG's wonderful, and I will be one of the first people to say that because, again, I go back to reporting on that Hornets game. He had, I think he had three blocks that game, and two steals. He's been a bright spot the whole time. But one, OG's not a scorer as much, and he's taking up a big scoring role that really isn't him historically, and I think you can agree with that. And that might not be kept up throughout the entire playoffs for the Knicks, including if they want to make a deep run. You can't rely on OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson to be your top scorers.
I agree. You know, I really agree with that. So I wonder, especially, you know, we got news. Actually, my dad was the first to tell me this, that Mitchell Robinson's time period of coming back from injury, it's now, at first it was early January, or mid January. Now it's supposed to be February, maybe post All-Star break. At this point, I'm thinking you got to start, as great as he is, you know, maybe you find value in him for a trade, because it's unfortunate. Who? for Robinson, for Mitch.
I've been saying this since the beginning of this season. Mitchell Robinson is a current liability for the New York Knicks, because I feel like the most you can say is, hey, our defensive presence isn't that good because Mitchell Robinson's not back. Hey, we're waiting for Mitchell Robinson. Oh my God, Mitchell Robinson's back. He plays 10 games. That's what happened last season.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mitchell Robinson.
But
I think he's
when he's
very
on the floor,
talented.
When he's on the floor, he's excellent.
When he's on the floor.
Yeah.
The Iron Man, Mikal Bridges, the best availability is... The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Robinson doesn't have that.
Yeah. But you also... The injury that he's recovering from, last thing I'll say in the Knicks, is when Joel Embiid literally tripped him over and let him be out for the season. That is how he got this injury, this ankle injury.
But that's not an excuse. Like, how many excuses are we going to give?
But Joel Embiid should be kicked out of the NBA
buddy. Okay, buddy. Okay, so Giannis Antetokounmpo should be kicked out because he stomped on Kyrie Irving's ankle in the... semis.
That was on purpose.
It kind of looked purposeful. He landed and stomped right on it twice.
Okay, I'll have to look at the tape on if then maybe he should be suspended half a season or something like that. But either way, let's move over to your side of town, Kurt. We'll head to Brooklyn. And hey, look, I'm a Knicks fan, but you know, I tell people before I moved to Long Island when I was 3 years old, I was born in Brooklyn Heights, lived there for the first 3 years of my life, and some of my first memories of my life are in Brooklyn Heights. So, I do have a soft spot for the borough of Brooklyn. It's a great place.
It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place.
And you like Brooklyn Heights, Kurt?
Yeah. My doctor's at Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, there we go. Nice neighborhood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's nice there.
So, let's talk about this Nets team. You know, last time that we were talking about the Nets on this pod, when I was hosting, is we were saying the Nets are outperforming expectations. Right now, 10-14, eighth in the East. Is it possible they keep up this rate of play, 5-5 in their last 10, around 500? Can they be in play-in contention and sneak their way into the playoffs?
You know, me and Mary Hannah were talking about this before the podcast, and we were saying that right now, I think that the Nets have an ability to do that. How they are formed right now, they can be in the play-in because they are on the backs of Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, guys like that that are on the trade block right now for the Nets. And I think that if they have this team as it is formed at the moment, I think that they can go pretty. I think that they can make some noise in the playoffs. I mean, why not? But everything that I'm seeing at the moment is scaring me in the fact that it's seeming like the front office wants to trade the big guys, and for me, I don't like the idea of tanking ever in sports. Pressed my cough button for no reason. I think tanking is weak, and I think that it is I think it's a little ridiculous to always be like, hey, the next big guy's in the draft. What about if he doesn't pan out? We had a whole season where we can be exciting. You know, like, why can't we try to be exciting? Maybe like that 2019 Knicks game, the 2019-2020 Knicks squad, or is it 2021?
2020-2021.
Yeah, 2020-2021 Knicks
squad.
That's
when they were just come. That was Thibodeau's first year with
or
the Knicks.
Or the 2019-2020 Nets.
You mean 18-19 Nets?
No, I'm talking bubble Nets.
Oh, bubble Nets.
Bubble Nets were fun.
But I like the D'Angelo Nets.
Remember
that? That was one of my favorite Nets teams.
But
Kurt,
why can't we get back to that? What's the reason to tank for a season when we're having fun? Like, we're at 10-14 right now. Like, that's not the best record that we could have. I don't know.
You think so? I
think the Nets could do better.
No, they can.
So what 100%. What is the best record
they can
have?
I think
they should
have won that game against the Bucks.
Oh,
I think that they had all of the momentum too.
I was listening to that on the radio, and the Nets did have all the momentum in that game. Faulty plays, turnovers, as well as the Bucks came back in a way where the Nets at some point showed the youngness that's on that team when they were making mistakes. You know what I mean? And there's games, Mary Hannah, to really get back to what your point there is, like the game against the Warriors where they were on fire from three.
Yeah.
And things like that, like, gives me hope for when they play the Knicks, if this roster comes back the way it was, that these games that they play, and Cam Thomas comes back on Friday. So, realistically, the sky's the limit for me.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to the Celtics-Nets game at Barclays Center, and they were dominating the first half.
They did it against the Celtics when the Nets played the Celtics on their home floor.
Yeah.
because they're good.
They are. They're not bad. I would even go as far as to say that they're fun to play.
I agree with you. It's like my whole point with the Nets are right now is it feels like the most fun. It feels like one of the more fun teams in the NBA, and it feels like a team that people can get around that aren't Nets fans.
Yeah.
I feel like at the moment, it's all the people that can get around the Nets at the moment and enjoy the basketball, like those Nets that Ben's talking about, 2018, 2019, D'Angelo Russell. I think they were the favorite team in the entire United States at that time. But, like, why would we get rid of it for prospects?
I don't fully understand what is catching them up in the bottom half of these games.
Youngness. I think it's all about being young. And I guarantee the veteran presence is there. Definitely, because you have guys like Cam Johnson. You guys have like Dorian Finney-Smith. You have a lot of guys like that. But I think it's just you make mistakes to a point where you can't get back. Dennis Schroeder's been great for the Nets this season. Guys like Zaire Williams, when they played the Grizzlies earlier this year, went off. People like that have been really good for the Nets. But there's also things that have happened where you show the signs that maybe this team isn't as good as it should be. You know what I mean? They're flying a little too close to the sun. Their wings are melting at the moment.
I think after that Bridges trade, America was just like, they're done.
Everyone did, because everyone didn't believe. I saw how this Nets roster was built because I understand because I watch it. Also, give full credit to Jordy Fernandez, because Jordy Fernandez has turned this Nets team around to a point where we haven't seen it before, because we haven't had a real head coach since Kenny Atkinson, and that's over 5 or 6 years ago at this point. And then you have guys who have been Steve Nash, who I think just held a clipboard on the bench, Jacque Vaughn, who was also not that great. He didn't know, there was points in the Nets season sometimes where Jacque Vaughn would literally hold his timeout till the end of the game when the Nets could have went up 3 and there was time left on the clock. What are you doing holding a timeout for? So hopefully they hit a shot and then we can take it for when overtime happens, because we get timeouts anyway in overtime. So credit to Jordy Fernandez. He has been playing to this team's strength. He has gotten the defense up, the Nets offense up, and they shoot plethoras of threes. And it makes things look so much better. And also a big credit to somebody who I know Ben's probably going to clown on me for mentioning, Ben Simmons. He has been great.
All right.
No,
all
that's right. Ridiculous that you could say that to me. He's been great. The presence on the floor for Ben Simmons, I was at the Nets-Pacers game watching as a fan. The passes that he was putting out, or even against the Bucks, did you see that pass that Ben Simmons threw
legs? I did. He's always been a great playmaker. He just can't.
That's the point.
Yeah, but he can't.
Who cares about his scoring?
Can't score the basketball.
Who cares about his scoring?
Basketball is scoring, Kurt. You have to score more points than the other team.
I hate to agree with Ben Oppenheimer.
No, that's ridiculous. But there's somebody on the court present where you have 4 scorers, and then you also have Ben Simmons facilitating the ball. Why is that a bad thing?
Facilitating and bricking are 2 different things.
He's not bricking because he's not taking shots.
Because he knows that he can't.
He can. He just doesn't. I mean, he has come and rocked the rim a few times. He scored 14 a few nights ago. I mean, realistically, Ben Simmons, I believe, can still do it. I just think at the moment, he knows his role. And now his role is off the bench. And he knows what he has to do is facilitate the ball to get out to those shooters. Because, you know, even if people say that Ben Simmons might not shoot the ball, why are defenses collapsing on him when he's driving into the paint and leaving open threes for the Nets? Because if that's the case, let him drive and drive and miss a layup. You know what I mean? If that's such the big case, why is the gravity pulling towards him?
Yeah. Well, last thing I want to ask you guys about the Nets. You talk about when you introduced this topic, Kurt, you said they could be so much better than what they are right now. If the Nets maximize their potential, play to their highest ceiling heading into the playoffs in April, what do you think their seeding is in the East, and what do you think their final record would be if everything goes right for this team?
Final record is hard for me to say at the moment. I don't think I can give you final record, but I'll give you Nets in the play-in, if not low playoff seed, if they really maximize their potential, because I think that this team is only going to gel further. even like there's things in the locker room at the moment. Are you guys familiar with in college football? I think it's actually it's college football where they have their helmets and they put stickers on them if they have if they have good games and stuff like that. So actually, the Nets at the moment and Jordy Fernandez, what they're doing is the stickers on the helmets thing. For the Nets, each player gets their own customized helmet, and when they have good games, they have the stickers on the helmet. But that kind of stuff, for me, is just things that improve chemistry and gel this team further.
I totally agree.
And I think a chemistry-focused team is way scarier for a team like the Knicks if they came across them in the playoffs as a high seed.
Yeah.
I think it's way scarier, because when times get tough, a team like the Nets can barge through it because they like each other, or that they know how each other tick, so they know what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the Knicks, like, we saw Mikal Bridges dribble it off his foot against the Hornets when I was there. You saw the tension growing. And guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, when he was in Minnesota, when things got tough, he kind of just gave up. Not gave up, but he got upset. So, realistically, if I'm the Nets right now, and I think where they can go, it's probably a higher seed in the play-in tournament, if not a very low playoff seed.
What do you think about the power rankings? Because right now, the Nets just moved to the 21st seed in the Athletics power rankings. Do you think that they sub-20, or do you think that they're going to stay stagnant?
They can sub-20. I mean, Cam Thomas gets back soon. I mean, when Cam Thomas is back, I feel like anything is possible at the moment. I don't even want to sound like I'm being what is it called? Too optimistic, because like he scores at will. He's becoming a better defender. He's becoming a better playmaker because, like I said about gravity, there's guy when they play a lot of these teams. Cam Thomas, when he's dribbling up the floor, he's gaining four guys. So then you have a hot hand who's having the best season of his life, Cam Johnson. You have guys like Dorian Finney-Smith who can hit threes, Dennis Schroeder who can hit threes, Shake Milton who's been pretty good. Like, Cam Thomas being back doesn't only add a scoring element to your roster, he also adds a playmaking element to your roster because teams have to figure out a way to play him. And then when if they aren't playing him, two guys on him, three guys on him, if he's playing one-on-one, he's one of the pound-for-pound very good scorer in the league, if not one of the top right now. He went from 10, I think, averaging 15 points a game to his Nets ranking right now from like 25. I can check that for a second.
Points per game?
Yeah.
25, yeah.
He's averaging 25 points a game from last year, averaging, I think, 13. So that just shows you how good he is. So realistically, why can't the Nets be sub-20? Who's above them, you know what I mean? Like, I guarantee the Pacers are above them. They just beat the Pacers.
No, the Pacers are below
them. They're below them.
So are
really?
The 76ers.
Well, the 76ers below.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really bad.
Yeah.
Let me look at
We both unite in our hatred of the Sixers, right? Right, Kurt?
I think we all do.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Everyone does. I mean, Philly is a horrible sports town. I hate giving you your respect, Mary Hannah. Philly is a much worse sports town than Boston is.
I can't stand Philly.
I infinitely hate
I went to Philly.
Philly
this fall, and I felt it, and I hated
horrible,
it.
Horrible place.
Hated it's, it.
Horrible
I mean,
place.
I mean, their cheesesteaks are pretty good.
That's true, yeah. But it's basically a worse, smaller, dirtier New York.
Totally agree.
It's a worse, smaller, dirtier Boston.
It feels fake. Yeah. It feels like, this is such a niche reference, but like a Minecraft city.
It feels like they
built it, and then everything else around is like flat Earth.
Yeah,
kind of. Like I went there over the summer, and like if you're not in the main squares of Philadelphia, like where the Rocky Library is, and all, it's not called Rocky Library.
It's
just know that
art
the statue's
museum,
there. Is it? I thought it was a library.
I think it's a museum.
I think it's might be Museum of
the Rocky Steps.
Yeah, I thought it was a library. Well, either way, it really doesn't feel real, Philadelphia. There's a lot to it.
Philadelphia Museum of Art.
It is.
Yeah.
I thought it was
library. I've been there before, too. Philly has good museums. I'll give it that.
Well,
good
it's
museums.
A big city. They have good stuff.
Good cheesesteaks.
Very historical. Like, the historical
Liberty
part,
Bell's cool.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
cool. It's good.
The Continental Congress is there.
Yeah.
Good history. Good museums. Decent cheesesteaks.
Awful
sports. That's about it. But I actually want to get into an interesting topic for our last topic. It's not it wasn't part of the game plan, but I was just looking at it right now, and I think we should really talk about it. Is not talking about the players, not talking about the standings in the East or the West, but the ratings. One of the most important things for this league is who's watching, the popularity of it. NBA viewership is down this season, guys. And to date, the entire NBA regular season on ESPN is down 28% year over year. And overall, this is according to Outkick.com, which is a credible source. Viewership for the entire NBA is down around 48% since 2012. Four of the lowest rated NBA finals in the past 30 years have occurred in the past 4 years. Wow. 2024, one of the lowest. 2022, also one of the lowest. 2021 and 2020. And then you also look at the comparison to other sports. You have in other sports, you got college football surging, UFC surging. But right now, it seems the NBA is struggling in viewership, at least relatively. What do you guys make of that? What do you think the product of the league is not the highest quality it could be?
I think it's of the one of the best qualities we've seen in a long time.
I don't agree with that.
I disagree as well.
Why?
I think that we're marketing these teams behind single players.
Yeah.
Well, we're not marketing teams as teams.
Well, that's because right now there's been so much
superstar power.
Not superstar power, but also so much continuity. Everyone's back. Like, every team has somebody where you can rally behind and say that they're pretty good.
No, that's exactly my point.
And I like that.
Teams are based around players.
Yeah.
People want to see players at, like, on their phones. They don't want to see the players playing the games because they don't care. If there's not a whole team to watch,
so you're saying
there's just one player
you're
to
saying
keep
superstardom
up with.
Is the that super teams don't exist anymore is the issue.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the issue. You know what I think is the issue? Load management, injuries, officiating, and issues with blackouts, people not being able to watch the games in their own markets. I think that's a lot of it. Look, compared to when I watched the NBA 10 years ago, the amount of questionable calls when I was growing up, I mean, there were definitely, you know, one or two per game. But watching this year's past playoff run for not just the Knicks, obviously, because that would be biased, but in games that I have no allegiance for, many, numerous questionable calls that have deliberately altered the outcome of these games.
I don't think that's why people are not watching.
I do. I think people are very frustrated with that, and I also think
that they don't watch games. If you're getting frustrated with calls that you legitimately care about the NBA, and you're not watching as a casual fan, at the moment, I think I agree with Mary Hanna here. Is that the casual fan wants to see LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, super team in Miami? They want to watch. They want to watch the big threes and these large, big market franchises get these major pieces and things like that because they want to watch the Golden State Warriors go back to back to back.
But they also want quality basketball with heart. You know,
the casual fan, I don't think, cares about. They're not watching for
that. Absolutely, they're watching college basketball, which has plenty of heart, plenty of defense. Look, right now, to be frank, and I love watching the Knicks. I love watching the NBA.
They don't have heart.
But, well, the Knicks don't have heart. That's right. Every team, even my Knicks, a huge part of their offense is chucking up threes. It's like watching an AAU game. And that's where, ultimately, I believe this problem starts for the NBA, is when these players start out young, they're being taught that they can shoot like Steph Curry and they can be
that's
anything they
want.
That's
just where the game is moving. This is ridiculous because we're like, oh, Bill Russell tanking up
that's,
and blocking
that's not
every
what I'm
shot.
Saying. I'm saying, you know what people want? They want good officiating. They want less injuries. And I also think
are something that we can't control.
I do think we can control that. We can shorten the season from 82 to 66. That would make the games matter more, and it would lead to less injuries.
No.
I think absolutely.
What?
I absolutely think they should shorten the season.
I honestly don't hate that. That gives more games.
The players' union has thought about shortening the season to 66. I think LeBron has mentioned it before. I think that'd be one of the best things.
So he can play for another 40 years.
Gosh. And also, it's the fact these games, because there's so many, that's why some people don't tune
Ben,
in.
They've been playing 82 games since 1967.
I think players
are getting this mindset that I'm just going to catch the game next week. I don't need to watch tonight.
Exactly.
There's one happening in 2 days. I don't have to watch this Grizzlies game tonight.
And so players, what about baseball that has 182?
No one watches baseball.
Baseball's a different. It's a different story.
It's not. These games how many games are in hockey, Lydia? 82 games in hockey as well.
But
she said
hockey,
they're also thinking about shortening it.
Hockey is, and I feel like I have all the respect for hockey. Hockey is much more of a niche sport that has a much more passionate fan base that will watch no matter what than the NBA does. If the NBA wants to get that passion back, they should reinvigorate the league by, as I said, shortening the season so less injuries, games matter more.
The games mattering more is them trying to do the NBA Cup, which I've liked.
Also, you know what? I think they should bring back some of the changes that they made in the mid-2000s, before the mid-2000s, when it was much more of a physical game. I think that would provide some excitement and some more grit to what we're seeing now.
It's just
where
not the direction the game's moving.
But that doesn't mean
you
it can't
turn
be changed.
Down a, you want to turn back a clock that can't be turned.
That's not the way I see it,
I think that
Kurt.
A lot of the things that have made this kind of trend in the NBA are nothing that we can go back on. Like, I feel like a part of kind of what my point was before about these super teams, anyone can throw a three-point now. It's not something that you're watching.
But it hasn't been special for 20 years.
That's what I'm saying. We can't go back on that.
I'm not saying we should limit threes. I'm not saying that, but we also have to make threes matter more, because now it's just the whole game is threes. And so what I think particularly is that's why you got to change the rules a little bit to make the defense more intense and make it a little more physical and bring some of that grit back. You talk about having heart. The NBA as a whole doesn't have heart right now. Doesn't seem like
I think that a lot of the teams that I think the Nets have heart. I think I'm watching a team that has heart. I would say the Boston Celtics have heart.
No, they don't.
Yes, they
no,
do.
They
100%.
They play with a lot more heart than the Knicks do.
The Celtics are pure raining down threes and just they're a great team, but
that's how they play and how they win. There's a reason.
Yeah, but
why
that's
the
not
Knicks
heart. That's skill.
By them.
That's skill.
That's
I
heart.
Think it's skill and heart.
No, Celtics.
You have an entire.
The Celtics are very talented.
You'll
very
never
skilled.
See me defend the Celtics, but I think that they have a heart in their team. There's definitely a beating pulse that's going through that team. I'm just saying. It's not like the lifeless corporate Knicks and MSG. I'm saying it is the Knicks. They have heart.
Have you ever been to TD Garden? Have you ever felt it?
I have. I had.
You were opening day.
I had to be punished by going up there and beat reporting. And witness the Knicks get blown out in TD Garden. So, yes, I was there. That was a crazy experience, too.
Maybe
that crowd,
you just didn't feel it because you're not a Celtics
no,
fan.
No, I but, saw they, it wasn't hard. It was they are extremely talented and extremely skilled at scoring the basketball and raining down threes. That's how they won.
They have vibes around them, Ben.
No, they don't.
See, yes, they do.
No,
they have
100%.
You're not going to tell
every
me.
Every single player on that court matters when it comes to the Celtics.
They do.
Well, Lydia says I'm right, so.
Well, that's just
okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. I can't defend the fact that they legitimately they play with pace, they play with heart, they play with grit. I mean, they bounce back after losing.
They have a bench. Something
also
that
true.
The
yeah.
Knicks don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, having a bench is also a large part.
Yeah.
Of having
Sixth
a heart.
Man of the year.
I never said I never said the Knicks were better than the Celtics.
No. But
said
you're
that.
Telling me heart in the NBA doesn't have heart. I disagree with that. Teams like the Lakers might not have heart, or the Knicks might not have heart, but the Indiana Pacers have heart.
The Pacers?
Oh, why'd I get you started on the Pacers?
The Pacers.
Yes.
Tyrese Halliburton?
Yes, I think Tyrese Halliburton has heart.
You can't be serious.
They do have
you
heart.
You actually can't be
serious. They have heart and grit.
If you want to talk about, you're saying your Nets have heart.
They do.
The Knicks last season had an insane
last
amount of grit.
Last season, because they had Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo helping carry that team. Last season.
It was also a sublime season from Brunson. But look, we can argue all day about this. You know, I think we should wrap things up here because we're just going to talk in circles. But I enjoyed getting into this, not just into the issue of viewership, but also the Knicks and the Nets. And I think that'll just about do it for this week's edition of Pick and Pod. And we'll be back next week, probably with different hosts. But thanks for tuning in. And this is Pick and Pod with me, Ben Oppenheimer, alongside Kurt Sippel, Mary Hannah Gallagher. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good weekend. You just listened to the Pick and Pod exclusive NBA podcast on WFUV Sports.